don't know about you, but gifts are a wonderful thing. How many of you enjoy gifts? Lovely. Now, we have received so many gifts in our lives, and some of them we don't even realize because they can become quite commonplace. So I'm going to need some help opening gifts because I'm fantastic at wrapping them, but not very good at opening them. So I'll need some children to help me. And I'm sure some of you out there must love opening gifts. So if you enjoy opening gifts, or if you just want a closer look, I would invite you, just for the moment, kids, to come and just sit up here on the floor. Oh, so many kids like gifts. Who knew? So when Mr. Borman mentioned doing creation and the story of creation, my heart leapt within me and my spirit rejoiced. Well, I was going through a dry period through my walk with the Lord. And while I was responding in obedience to what he told me to do, it was very difficult. And what God did was he expanded my view of him. And in that process, he gave me a bigger perspective of where I am and how huge he is and my place within his purpose and his plan. So, who knows what is the first... Okay, that's a bad question. I'm not going to get the answer I want. All right. So I'll just say the first. All right, actually, who wants to open my first gift? All right. Can you open the first gift? Now, if you need a little help, your sister can help you. Feel free to rip it. It's not important paper. Oh, she's opening it. The box has been revealed. Jane, just go to town. Just really rip it to shreds. That's okay. Now, Jane, I want you to open it up, and in the microphone, tell me what you find inside.
What's inside? Can you help her?
Nothing.
There's nothing inside. What a terrible gift giver I am. Good job, Jane. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you have to understand something. In the beginning, there was nothing. God did not take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and create something. He's not like us. If I want to paint, I need paintbrushes and paint a palette, and sometimes I need a paint-by-numbers chart. All right? But God had nothing. So, if you could open the first slide... Whomever is doing the slide. It says, in the beginning, God. That's what Genesis 1 starts with. And the Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So when God spoke, the heavens and the earth came into being. It was the power of his words. He didn't take some... he did make us out of earth, and there are times he did make something out of something, but when he spoke the universe into being, there was nothing there. Now, this concept of nothing is really hard for me, because I have a frame of reference with lots of somethings. So when I close my eyes and I think of nothing, I think of darkness and cold. But cold is something, because it comes, and darkness is a result, like light and dark come together. So for me to imagine a void is impossible. I can't do it. So nothing, by definition, is the absence of everything. But there was God. And that is everything we can ever need. And he's sufficient. And he's more than sufficient. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was nothing. All right, who wants to open the next box? Ho-ho-ho. All right. What do you find?
Flashlight?
Yes, there was light. There was light. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, I think there's tape on it. I do like tape.
Balloons.
What kind of balloon?
Water balloon.
Yes. Water balloons, which you cannot use at this moment, okay? And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry land, ground land, and he gathered the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land, and bear fruit with seeds in it according to all various kinds." And it was so. All right. Oh, here's my plant. I didn't wrap it. Would everyone like to hold the plant? He created plants. You want to hold the plant? Awesome. Okay. What's... You know, I really like how Isaiah is sitting so quietly. It's wonderful. Isaiah. Now, I don't think I taped it, did I? Oh, I did. Just on the side here. There we go. What do you see on here?
Stars.
Yes. God created the heavens, the stars, the sun, the moon. We just have stars here, but that's okay. All the celestial bodies in the sky. All right. Do you want to hold on to it, Isaiah? Why don't you hold on to that? Okay. Next. What kind of animals?
Birds and fish.
Birds and fish, excellent. And a nice huge dolphin. All right. So God created all the living creatures in the sky and in the water. And then we go on to the next one. What's in there?
Animals.
Very good. And God created all the wild creatures and the livestock and everything that crawls the earth, including things like stick bugs and beetles and all that lovely thing. So we're going to leave this one until just a bit later. So kids, I know that when I'm in a staff meeting, it's hard for me to sit still. So it's true. So what I'm going to have for you, I'm the kind of person, when I wiggle, it means I'm listening. So if you are the same way as me, you may take a little coloring sheet so that you can do something with your fingers while your ears are listening. And you can go back and sit with your parents. All right. So you can take it and then go and sit with your parents. Lovely. All right. So if you could go to the next slide. The first point was, in the beginning there, first was God. He created all things, and all things came from him. So the second one is God created. John Glenn is someone who went up into outer space in 1998. He's an astronaut. And as he looked up into space, this is what he said. He was in space. As he looked around him, this is what he said. To look up at this kind of creation and not believe in God is impossible. It strengthens my faith. So Isaiah 46 says, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Now, at this point, my favorite subject to teach is science. And the reason why is it brings me to my knees before the Lord, because it outlines the magnificence and glory of who he is. So if you don't mind, I'm going to give you some facts that you may not know about the universe that God has put you within. So the universe contains at least 100 billion other galaxies. At least. Minimum. Each has about 100 billion stars, you know. And if we could go to the next slide, we're going to talk about scripture. Very good. I'd forgotten that one. This is a scripture that I have my class memorize, the whole psalm. And it talks about the glory of the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or knowledge, language, where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion. Like a champion rejoicing to run its course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. And just to give you an idea of where we are, the next slide, this is our Milky Way galaxy. And do you see where the arrow's pointing? That's us. That's our solar system. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune and Pluto. That's us. And would you like to open a gift? And just, you know, that's kind of our neighborhood. I thought I'd show you the universe. All right, you hold, I'll pull. Awesome. So, this is us. This is our Milky Way, just like there. This is the universe. Do you want to help me hold this? Sure. Thank you. This is the universe, and we are, where are we? Right there. That little dot. It's like a pencil mark. So, it's hard to see, I know, and it'll be up there for you to take a look. So, hold it up a bit more. So right there, that little dot, that's us. Right there.
Is that the Earth or is that the solar system?
No, that's our solar system. That's the Milky Way. So, you know, sometimes I think I'm quite important in the world, and then God reminds me of this poster, and that he's much bigger than I could ever be. Thank you. So just to give you some perspective. Now, this is one of the favorite bodies in our solar system that I quite enjoy. The next slide. The sun. So here's some facts about the sun. Every second, the sun converts 5 million tons of mass to energy, and then it gives it to us freely, without inhibition. We get only 1/1,000,000,000th of this total energy, and yet it is sufficient for us. In 1 second, the sun gives off more energy than any power supply or human contraption of power in the whole time of our time on Earth here. So in 1 second, it's more than we have ever produced on our own. So if I were to just take one little pinhead of this sun's energy, and if you were to get within 1,000 miles of it, it would be fatal. That's how powerful it is. Now, these bursts of energy come out of the sun. They're called solar flares. And one time it shot a magnetic cloud that was about 30 million miles in diameter, so across, and it was moving 1 million miles an hour. It's pretty dangerous. When I'm confronted with things like this, I have a question. Is God bigger than this? Can he move faster? So every impressive structure or event in the universe should remind us of a God who is greater than all of his works. With a God this powerful, why do we doubt he has the power to help us in our own lives? The universe is a beautiful place. It's rich, it's vast. And for me, it inspires a reverence about who God is. Now, there's just one more planet I want to talk about. Oh, here's Earth. Yes, very good. So when you have these things shooting out at you, solar flares, honestly, I've never felt them. And the reason why I've never felt them, or you've never felt them, is because God has precisely positioned our Earth the exact distance it should be from the sun. If there was a difference by 2%, we would not have life. But it's precisely placed. Next slide. So this is the sun. This is Jupiter, our biggest planet. And the computer wouldn't even let me put Earth. But if you would take a pencil mark and you just do a little dot, you get it. Just to give you some perspective. And one of my favorite planets, Jupiter. There it is, a big ball of gas. Pretty tumultuous. Is Earth's protector. God has positioned it precisely the right distance from Earth so that it will absorb anything coming towards Earth into its own system. It's called a Frisbee effect. So when it comes towards Jupiter, Jupiter grabs it into its gravitational and then flings it back out. Now, we are being protected in a huge level in our universe, and we're not even aware of it. So if Jupiter was just a little farther, we get hit by asteroids 1,000 times more than we actually do. But now, when we get hit by asteroids, they're burned up in our atmosphere, and they're actually not that big. So I just wanted to feast your eyes on some other things that you can see in the universe. We see God's hand in beauty. God decided on beauty. It didn't happen by chance. The northern lights, a sunrise, a sunset. If you have the opportunity to gaze into a telescope and see this, the oceans, the forests, beauty is all around us. God is artistic. He loves his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everywhere you see, God's fingerprints are all over it. When you wake up in the morning, you see the sunrise. It's like a love letter to you. This is my glory. This is my majesty on display. I delight in it. We see the God's hand through power. He holds it all together. He holds gravity in place. He set everything up, but it's still in the palm of his hands. The nuclear fusion that powers our sun, it could go completely wrong. But it's created, ordained, sustained, and destined by the Lord. We also see his hand through precision. The distances from the earth to the sun, from Jupiter to earth. Nothing goes out of place. He controls it all. You can keep changing the slides. Go for the next one. And go for the next one. That's another galaxy. But oh, so beautiful. Now, there was a song that my nephew likes to sing. And I thought we would sing it together. And it talks about how our God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. I hope that this has opened your eyes just a little bit before we go on to the next point. How big he is. And that this is nothing compared to him. Now we're going to go on to one of most God's complex creations. And we're not focusing on the creation, although we'll look at it. We're focusing on who God is. So I have one last gift for someone to open. All right. Would you like to open the gift? Veronica, what do you see?
A mirror.
And what do you see in that mirror?
Me?
Yes, we are God's most complex creations. If you could just turn off the slide for just a moment. When God set out to create humanity, he put his genius on display. Now, as a 14-year-old teenager with, pimples popping out of everywhere, I would have never thought that I was one of most God's ingenious and complex creations. But we are. Our body is more complex than the universe. Now, Psalm 139. Oh, can you turn the slide back on to Psalm 139? Very good. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. Where can I go? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness is not to be dark to you. And the night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So just a few facts about your body, which you were not aware of. 90% of your atoms are replaced each year. Every 5 years, 100% of your atoms are replaced. Within the last hour, 1 trillion trillion of your atoms have been replaced. Good thing it doesn't hurt. If you wanted to keep count with this, every second you'd have to count up to 10 billion, which is impossible. Now, I have a few helpers who are going to read and tell you about different parts of your body and how God has put it together and the abilities that it has that you might not quite be aware of. So if I gave you a sheet with a word on it, could you come up here? Come on, don't be shy.
Ear. The ear has a million moving parts that can vibrate 20,000 times per second. The ear can distinguish among 2,000 different pitches. Sound waves that can move the eardrum less than the diameter of a hydrogen molecule can be perceived by the brain?
The lung. We breathe 600 million times over an average lifespan with each breath, containing over a billion air molecules. These air molecules enter 300 million alveoli that provide a total surface area of half of a tennis court.
Our 22 feet of small intestine has an absorptive surface equal to that of a tennis court. The liver has 300 billion cells that can perform over 500 functions and can almost completely regrow itself if needed.
The brain contains 10 billion neurons, possibly 10 times more, and has 100 trillion neurological interconnections that, if stretched, would extend 10,000 miles. The brain fires at a rate of 1,000 trillion computations per second and can hold information equivalent to that contained in 25 million books. Each of us carries around a mental video cassette containing 3 trillion pictures. We are capable of thinking at a rate of 800 words per minute.
The eye takes pictures continuously and develops them instantly, a process we couldn't stop if we tried. Has over 100 million rods and cones that take continuous pictures under light conditions that can vary by a factor of 10 billion. The photoelectric cells in our eyes are so sensitive that they can be triggered by 1 billion billionth the amount of light emitted by a flashlight. In 1/3 of a second, the retina solves the equivalent of nonlinear differential equations that would take a supercomputer 100 years to solve.
Thank you. As you can see, we are not a mass of mixed up and mush atoms. We are intricately designed. So, the more I learn about how we're put together, the more amazed I am. There's a lot of subatomic particles in us, so I don't know what those are, but they're really little, and you can't see them. So, anyways, one's called a zai. And it has, its lifespan is 1/10 of a billionth of a second. And so in 1 second, where's my notes here? Oh, so by the time your heart beats, it has gone through billions of lifespans. And I don't know why God made this, but maybe he just is so creative and he wanted to keep us guessing sometimes that he just put this Zion. So your body has about between 10 and 100 trillion cells, and each cell has a trillion atoms within it. These are constantly being replaced. So for example, imagine you're building a house the size of Texas. So imagine knocking down the walls in a million rooms each second and hastily rebuilding them again with new materials. That's what's happening in your body. So if God put this all together, he must be very clever. And very powerful and precise. Does he know the position of all these subatomic particles all the time, even when they come in and out of existence? In less than a trillionth of a second? Yeah, he does. Not only does he know where they are at all times, but he nicknames them in his spare time. So what's the point? Such a God can be trusted with the details of my life. After rearranging all the subatomic particles in the morning, the specifics of my life probably seem a little unchallenging to him. And one last part of your system is the blood. Can you do the... Those are some blood cells there. So we have about 60,000 miles of blood vessels. And if we were to line them all up, they would go 1.5 times around the equator of the Earth. That's a lot. We produce about 5 million platelets each second. Those are the things that when you get a cut and you start getting a scab on your arm and the things it starts to scab up and stop you from bleeding, it heals you. That's what we're talking about. I hope I have my information right. So when something that your body doesn't know is there, like we call it a foreign agent, so you could think about it as like a spy, When it, your body recognizes it, all these fleets of white blood cells and platelets, they're sent, they form antibodies, and they go into battle. So there is war being waged in your body. And just in case those aren't enough, in our bones, hiding in our bone marrow, there is a backup force of about 100 times larger if you need it. The Bible says greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Every day our white blood cells are laying down their lives for our lives. That reminds me of Christ, how he lays down his life for us. And in some ways, we see a picture of what's happening in our body with God's heart for us. So, I don't know about you, but when I understand this, when I hear about this information, and we've just, I've just given you a drop. There is so much more out there. Like, I could tell you that a mosquito can smell you from 64 kilometers away. God is amazing at creation. Now, that information is a little disturbing to me personally. I wish he kept that one out, but at least, there's a lot of people between me and that mosquito. So hopefully he won't need to come this far. Does it not stir your heart to realize that in a millionth of a second, a trillion atoms in your body turn over, and somehow God makes it work? Does it not deepen your reverence to realize that a God more impressive than a magnetic cloud, 30 million miles in diameter, careening through space at a million miles an hour, Magnetic cloud, 30 million miles in diameter, careening through space at million miles an hour, or a neutron star that weighs hundreds of millions of tons per teaspoon? Does it not give you pause to think that 10,000 trillion words spoken since the beginning of creation, God heard everyone, remembers everyone, can recite them all from backwards, and even knew them before they were even spoken? Or that each snowflake is made up of 100 billion trillion water molecules and is entirely unique? When we see him more clearly, we have more faith in his power and less anxiety in our own circumstances. Our own frailty and fragility seems less bothersome when we realize that we were designed by a God who can count to infinity backwards and can recite the Encyclopedia Britannica in every known human language in a trillionth of a second. When we understand the sovereignty, the power, the design, the majesty, the precision, the genius, the intimacy and caring of an almighty God, it takes away our fear. It removes our frustration. It allows us to sleep at night and trust him with the running of his universe. It allows us to have margin. It allows us to resume our proper role in the order of things rather than taking over his role. It allows us to seek his will rather than following our own mind. You see, to know him is to trust him, and to trust him is to rest in him. Psalm 116, verse 5 to 7 says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you."